It's a revolution, I suppose. We'll paint it red to fit it right in. Whoa. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Saturday, November 11th. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Euphoria Podcast. We're going to be reviewing Thursday Night Football between the Dolphins and the Ravens. That's a crazy game. And we're also going to preview all of Sunday's games and Monday's games as well. Just want to thank anybody who's going to be listening to this, however it is that you are listening, wherever it is you are listening. We appreciate it. If you hear at any point in time me interact with anybody from chat, I do live stream on Twitch for the live recordings as well as Facebook. So I could very well be responding to one of those questions. If you want to hop in and ask questions, please, by all means, Twitch is Sports Euphoria and Facebook is my name, but you can search the page Sports Euphoria and go through that way as well. But it's Dave Robson. So again, definitely appreciate anybody who's coming by. We're going to jump right into this pretty much. And then at the end, I do have some cool stuff going on. And don't mind me if I also go back and forth between college. I do live stream this and share my screen so you guys can see what it is that I see and what it is I'm looking at. So I did place a bet earlier today. Nice little three-game parlay for college. So far, the first two games hit. I'm waiting for the third game to hit, and we're going to see what happens. Nothing crazy, just some small bets to build my earnings back up, and see if we can make any money. But I'm waiting for the Mississippi State Auburn game to end. If that hits, it'll pay out like $62 for a $5 bet. I felt good about two of the underdogs this week. Baylor beat Oklahoma. And Mississippi State is ahead against Auburn. Mississippi State, I do believe, have the football. If you hear it in a second, never mind. We're just waiting on that game. So we'll see. We're going to see what happens there, but that'll be nice. But yeah, threw some bets down, see what happens. It was pretty nice. Took the money lines on all of them. So see how that goes. You know, see what's going on with that. Looks like Mississippi State's driving. They need to score to pretty much put the game away, which would be fantastic. But anyway, so with that being said, we'll jump right into the Thursday Night Football game against the Dolphins and the Ravens. So, Dolphins win. It's been a past week and a half, 10 days of upsets, I guess you'd say. Maybe not even 10 days. But the Dolphins win in a good, I don't even want to say it was a good game, but it was interesting to say the least. Jacoby Brissett started. Tua was available to come in as a backup. Jacoby Brissett did get hurt, so Tua did come in, and Tua did play well given circumstances with his finger and everything like that. he did play really well, so that's always good to see. Myles Gaskin, not the greatest of games, did have a lot of different things taken back. There was a false start that they blew late. That took a touchdown away from Myles Gaskins. He also had a catch for a couple yards for a first down. It was taken back. So should have had a better game, unfortunately. And then Tua did vulture a touchdown from him as well with a 0-yard touchdown. It was right from the goal line. They gave it to Tua. He took the touchdown. So that, you know, you hate to see that. I do have Tua in one of my leagues, or not Tua, Myles Gaskin, in one of my leagues with a buddy of mine. So you really do hate to see that. We could have used it, but we did have Sanders and Saunders, and he did come through in the clutch. So that's always good to see. But it was the Albert Wilson and Isaiah Ford game and Jalen Waddle. But Albert Wilson and Isaiah Ford ended up having the most yards. 4 catches for 87 for Wilson, and Ford 4 for 84. And Jalen Waddle led the team with targets, 6 targets. Mike Gesicki, hate to see it, 7 targets, no catches, bad throws. You know, thought about starting him because people were saying, "Oh, start him." But I'm gonna roll with Kyle Pitts against the Cowboys. We're gonna see it in a sec. Ah, sorry if you see me slide. I got my feet on a medicine ball. That didn't sound good. And it's Kyle Pitts against the sound like I heard something fall from the Cats. Anyway, as I digress, good game by the Dolphins, and the Dolphins defense had a touchdown. You weren't really going to probably be starting Dolphins defense unless you have some ESP and you were able to realize that that was going to be a thing. And then we have the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, 39 yards rushing, 238 yards passing. Not one of his great games. The Dolphins blitz like a ton. He was sacked 4 times. Dolphins were almost, I felt like, blitzing every play. I have a couple notes that I jotted down that I'm going to go over as to why I think the game was as ugly as it was. But Devontae Freeman had 10 carries for 35 yards. And he had 3 catches as well, 9 points. So you really do kind of hate to see that. 8.8 points. Marquise Brown had 13 targets. Led the team in targets, just couldn't come up with all of them. He had 9.7 in full point PPR. He did fumble, but it was recovered by the Ravens. But Rashad Bateman, 8 targets, 6 catches. I actually, right before this game, I made a trade, and I traded away Rashad Bateman because I have Marquise Brown, and I picked up Bateman off of free agency because he was dropped by somebody off waivers. So I overpaid for him, but I got a running back that I think will help, and I traded some picks as well. So, you know, he's going to be a good player. I really think he's going to be a very good player. He did get the last play by Lamar Jackson was an interception. It was in the end zone to Bateman. So if he would have gotten that would have been massive. But Mark Andrews, 6 for 63 and a touchdown. You know, you expect that from the tight end, 18 points. But like I said, Marquise Brown, subpar game, but was targeted 13 times. Now, a lot of those targets came when Lamar was pressured by the blitz. So back foot throws, didn't have a chance to step into the throw. So I'm not looking into anything like the Lions game where he dropped 3 touchdowns, essentially 2 touchdowns because he dropped 2 on the same drive. But it was a lot of pressure. I do think Marquise Brown and Bateman are probably the 2 receivers to have going forward. Sammy Watkins did not help himself this game. He had a pass where he could have had a touchdown, and he just lost the ball somehow. And then he had a very big fumble late in the game that's what the Dolphins scored on. So you hate to see it. He was taken really high when he was drafted coming out of college, when he came out of Clemson, and just really never really amounted to much except for when he was with Kansas City. And it's kind of funny. You see Kansas City struggling a lot more now without Sammy Watkins than you did with Sammy Watkins. Not that he was that, you know, super impactful like a Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, but he was reliable, more reliable maybe than McCole Hardman. But yeah, you know, if you don't have Rashad Bateman yet, I would definitely try to pick him up on Tuesday. He's going to be another waiver wire priority that I'm going to probably have on my Tuesday episode. So Tuesday night into Wednesday or Wednesday night into Thursday for your waivers, pick him up if you can. But real quick, watching early in the game, you can kind of tell the offense for the Dolphins looks so much better with Tua on the field. Tua makes a bigger difference. Obviously, he's more mobile than Brissett. But the understanding, the mobility, the team looks like they play harder for Tua than they do for Brissett. It just looks that way. You know, so it's super interesting to see how the offense just seems to flow better. And they have more options and they look to be, you know, a more complete team with Tua. And the defense finally for Miami stepping up. So they might be able to shock some teams coming up if the defense continues to play how they did. Now, it's very hard in the NFL to play cornerback. And I've gone over this before because the receiver knows the routes and the defender has to figure out the routes. The field was atrocious. It was humid. People were cramping and the field looked like it had some sort of like moistness to it. You couldn't cut really. A lot of receivers were falling down or slipping, coming out of routes, coming out of cuts. And as a defender, you're reacting. So you're not necessarily going to be slipping and falling as much because you're waiting to see what the receiver does. You see the receiver go to make a cut, they slip and fall. You still now have position because you know which way he's going. And 22-10, it was a 12-point game, yes, but they did get to fumble from Watkins and score on that fumble. So that takes 7 points away. So it was really 15-10. It was not a pretty game, and it was the same for both sides. I don't want people to think that, oh, well, the Dolphins were able to... No. Like, it was really ugly for both teams to try to really, like, move the ball. So the Ravens had opportunities. They just couldn't capitalize on them because the Dolphins had their number. At least now the Ravens have 10 days to try to figure out how to stop the sacks or how to stop the blitzes because it's copycat league. Teams are going to see that and they're going to take advantage of it and they're going to try to replicate what the Dolphins did to slow the Ravens down. But in regards to the field and injuries, there were no, you know, except for Brissett, I don't know many major injuries that happened to anybody. We'll get to an injury a little bit later that just happened today. But I wonder what Tua's long-term is and his availability, because Tua has shown since he's come into the league that he's not the most consistent quarterback when it comes to being on the field. He has a lot of injuries here and there, little knick-knack things. He had the hip coming out of college and then the finger and then the shoulder and then the ribs and then You want to see Tua be successful and you want to see Tua play because it looks like the offense does look so much better with Tua and a lot of their losses came with Brissett. So, you know, I want to see Tua do well and I think the team as a whole is going to benefit if Tua plays, but you want to know what the long term is going to be for Tua. Can he keep up with it? A lot of it as well was, you know, a short week. Always typically with short weeks, you try to, you know, teams usually try to run the ball a little bit, but you just couldn't do a lot because the field was so atrocious. It just really was. And then also one thing which I thought was going to end up happening and kind of did for a little bit, but they were bad errant throws with the blitzes and the pressure that Lamar had to face. Bateman was involved in the hurry-up offense, but typically Lamar feels extremely comfortable with Marquise Brown in the hurry-up offense. So that's something if, God forbid, you know, Marquise is getting off to a slow game, if the Ravens are behind, expect his numbers to kind of spike towards the end, and you'll take it. Look, it's fantasy football, their padding stats, garbage time, whatever the case may be, but those are certain things that you're going to look for in that situation, because I won a championship with Blake Bortles once. My buddy and I won a championship with Blake Bortles. Garbage time. Man was putting up crazy numbers because the Jaguars sucked so bad. Right? So, you could Bortle it up to a championship. You know, you could just Bortle it up. But that was a Thursday night game. Nothing crazy. I'm sure the Ravens are going to come out next week and do what they're supposed to do. So, that, you know, I don't expect anything crazy. You know, they'll be fine. They're going to play the Bears next week. Followed by the Browns, Steelers, Browns, Packers, Bengals, Rams. They do have a tough schedule, but still nothing surprises me. Like, they're the Ravens. They're very multi dimensional with the running game and everything, so I don't put anything necessarily really past them. But with that being said, let me take a look to see if I hit my bets. Let's take a look. I did. Let's go. How you doing? Hit the bet. What you know about that? Huh? Anyway, we're going to go in order of these games. Bills, Jets. To my knowledge, Zach Moss was practicing, so you want to kind of take a look to see how if he's going to be playing. Sorry, I was trying to read something as well. I'm not really sure. I saw something about him practicing in a non-contact jersey. So they can. You have to see how that game, what happens at game time, and see what happens tomorrow with Zach Moss. But if not, start Devin Singletary. They're probably going to try to run the ball a little bit more, take the ball away from Josh Allen, so they don't have to rely on him so much, because last week's game was atrocious. But you're pretty much starting everybody here. Diggs, Singletary, Allen. You could probably start Mike White, depending on your quarterback situations. He's probably going to do a lot of dunk and dink and things like that. And if a game gets out of hand early, especially with how Buffalo lost last week to Jacksonville, they're going to be a little angry. They're going to be, you know, a little hot and heavy. So they could come in and just blow the doors off the Jets. So with that being said, you could expect some garbage time stuff. Not really expecting to start too many people from the Jets. Even Michael Carter scares me, but he's probably your best option right now, just because of the checkdowns. Corey Davis is supposed to be coming back as well. I want to see how Elijah Moore plays with Corey Davis there. And also, if the game's going to be that bad, Buffalo's defense is very good against the receivers. And I didn't start Elijah Moore last week, and he went off. I'm not starting him this week. If I get burned this week, I get burned this week. But I definitely just don't like this matchup, and I'm going to play the matchup on this one 100%. So like I said, Bills, you're starting the usual Bills. I'm trying to make a trade in my one league to get a running back, to get Leonard Fournette. If I can get Fournette, I'm not going to start Sanders. If I can't get Fournette, I'm going to be starting Sanders. But we'll see. I'm going to reach back out to the guy tonight to see if we can kind of get that deal done as well. I'll show you the other trade I made. Like I said, I got Melvin Gordon. Next, we're going to go Falcons and the Cowboys. So I now expect the Falcons to have a good game offensively. Randy Gregory's going to be missing a couple weeks. And whenever it rains, it pours for the Cowboys. No DeMarcus Lawrence. They lose last week to the Broncos after the Broncos trade Von Miller. And now you lose Randy Gregory for a couple weeks, and he's been one of your best defensive players next to Michael Parsons. You haven't seen Parsons, Gregory, and Lawrence on the field a lot. So, you know, and the Falcons have weapons. So you guys already know Trayvon Diggs. Let's see what he can do. It's another game for him. Watching it intently, because everybody was ready to say he's the defensive player of the year. And then everybody saw last week, got put on skates. But I've only been saying it for a couple weeks, so just saying. A lot of the talkers have been getting quiet now, and I just find it funny. Like, they're hot takes for a reason, but I don't want people to look at something for me being a Giants fan. Like, you have to look at it for what it is. I'm looking at it for face value. He's not good in coverage. He didn't make a lot of interceptions based on coverage. It was a lot based off of position. So anyway, you're starting Zeke. You're starting Dak, CeeDee, Cooper, Schultz. You're starting all the Cowboys you would normally start. And you're going to hope that their defense can't do diddly. And that the Falcons put up a ton of points, which means that the Cowboys are going to have to throw a little bit. Zeke did have a knee injury last week. To my knowledge, he should be playing, could be limited. So if you have Tony Pollard, take a look at that to kind of see what happens. He could be a deep flex play in deeper leagues. But I do like Pollard, and Pollard probably, in talking to a buddy of mine, is probably the better back in that backfield. But you know, you pay Zeke, you take him third overall. You gotta play the guy, right? Just ask the Jets about that. For the Falcons, Cordarrelle Patterson, Matt Ryan, and Kyle Pitts. That's really all you're gonna be playing, unless you're you know, in situations where you gotta start Russell Gage. Maybe Zacchaeus. Tajay Sharp's been getting some catches as well, but the solidified people, Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson, Matt Ryan. If you got to start Mike Davis, like I have him in two of my leagues, I don't think we're starting him though. I think we've picked up enough people and made some trades where we don't have to start him. But if you went zero RBs or some of your RBs got hurt, Godspeed. Sneaky play here though. Sneaky play. I kind of like the Falcons defense. I don't know why, but I kind of like the Falcons defense. Go Saints-Titans. Saints-Titans. Oh, boy. So, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Ryan Tannehill. If you picked up Peterson because you had Derrick Henry, you could probably start Peterson, but the Saints' run defense is very good. Very good. And I expect a little bit of a better game from Trevor Siemian as well. I don't expect, you know, terrible things from Trevor Siemian. I expect him to kind of play a little bit better, to show up more and kind of do what it is that he has to do. But, you know, you could probably start Trevor Siemian in deeper leagues, but you can find somebody else to start over him. And I'll go through like, man, to be honest, I probably like Siemian over Ryan Tannehill. Over Lawrence, over Mike White, over Baker, obviously Jared Goff, over Big Ben. It's a toss up between Siemian and Heinicke. But the way the Bucs defense has been playing, I'd probably start Siemian over Heinicke as well. Siemian over any Panthers quarterback. Vikings are going to run a lot because it's the Chargers. So you could even go as far as Siemian over Kirk Cousins. Patrick Surtain may not play this game for the Eagles, so for the Broncos. So, you know, Jalen Hurts might have a little bit of a better game, but that's kind of where I am with Trevor Siemian. And then AJ Brown, Julio Jones. And like I said, if you have Adrian Peterson, you're going to start him. Saints, you're going to pretty much just start Mark Ingram. Alvin Kamara has been ruled out, so you're just going to start Mark Ingram pretty much if you're on the Saints. If you're in a terrible situation and you want to start Marquez Callaway, you can. He hasn't done too much. Deontay Harris is probably the start there, if I'm going to be 100% honest with you. But, it's, you know, you never know. Next, we have Colts Jaguars. One second, I'm just going to get a drink real quick. Colts Jaguars. James Robinson's supposed to be back. If he's going to have a full workload, I do like James Robinson. If he's going to have a full workload, but it is Urban Meyer. I think they're going to try to keep the ball out of the Colts' hands as much as they can. Robinson obviously get the checkdowns. I also like Dan Arnold. And if you're in need of a sleeper, Jamal Agnew as well, because the Colts really just destroyed the Jets with their running game. So the Jaguars need to play catch up, which they probably are going to have to do unless Josh Allen goes crazy again. Jamal Agnew. In deeper leagues, 14, 16, 18 team leagues. But other than that, just James Robinson if he's getting that full workload. And Marvin Jones. Again, in your deeper leagues, depending on your receiver situation. Colts, Jonathan Taylor. I like Carson Wentz. And I like Michael Pittman. no question about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. I think now Jonathan Taylor is probably the best running back in the league right now with no Derrick Henry. CMC's coming back, but I think like pure run, John Taylor's just disgusting. Very underrated. The guy can just, the guy's just a freak. Just the guy's awesome. 828 yards. I think he's just behind Nick Chubb. I think he's just behind Nick Chubb. But Nick Chubb's not even playing this week. So Jonathan Taylor, all the way. Like I said, Carson Wentz, Michael Pittman, pretty much it for the Colts who are starting. That I feel comfortable starting for the Colts are those three guys. Browns against the Patriots. Oh, God. Dearness Johnson. And Dearness Johnson. This is ugly. This is just ugly. Ramondre Stevenson, if Ramondre Stevenson plays, I like him. If he doesn't play, I like Brandon Bolden in deep leagues as well for PPR. I think it's going to be a grind out game, so Mac Jones is not going to be lighting it up. So I'm not super crazy about Mac Jones because of how the Patriots play. But again, you know, it's so hard to predict what Belichick's going to do with his teams and game flow and game situations and things like that. So you're just like, it's like a crapshoot. It's like, well, what am I going to do? I don't know who I should play. And you're just like, well, try playing. And you're just left there holding the bag. So, you know, Jacoby Myers might get his first touchdown. And then you're just like, oh, you know, Jacoby Myers. And it's just hard. But I like Dearness Johnson, Jarvis Landry, and deep for deep flex, for a boomer bust flex, Donovan Peoples-Jones, a little DPJ, especially with no OBJ. You know, so we're going to keep the three letters the same. Or we're going to keep it three letters, and you're going to start DPJ. The Browns run first. They're a very run first, run heavy oriented team, and they play off the play action. Very much how like the Giants won their Super Bowls against the Patriots, things like that. Their offense was set to run the ball, and they took it from there. So Dearness Johnson should have a good game. Excuse me, like I said, he's shown he can play. He'll probably get, you know, a couple catches, maybe about like four catches. We'll probably have about 18 carries and have a total of about 95 yards. Patriots are just going to make somebody else beat them. They're probably going to make Baker throw because they know his shoulder's bothering him and they're going to try to get pressure. So they're going to force Baker to throw, have the receivers beat them, and then they're going to stop the run game and make them one-dimensional that way. So they could also very well try to throw the ball quick with Jones and try to get out to an early lead. That's what Bill Belichick does. He takes away the strength of your team and makes other people do that. He knows Baker's not the greatest. So, Baker, prove to me why you're number one pick. You know, because my guy's better and he wasn't taking number one overall. So, yeah. But that's... I feel bad for like a Jacoby Myers, 46 catches, just not, you know, it's just hit or miss with him. Like, Mac Jones just throws it to who's ever open. He doesn't have a favorite target. He just takes what the defense gives him, which is what you want to see as a real NFL team. But as a fantasy owner and a fantasy football player, you don't want to see that. You're just like, no, feed somebody the ball. I've been talking a lot about Kendrick Bourne. And I hope Kendrick Bourne can do something because I've been talking it up for the past like 2 weeks. But what are you going to do? Anyway, next game, Lions-Steelers. TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift. Hockenson and Swift, man. Hockenson and Swift. That's it. Hockenson and Swift. Steelers, I like Deontay Johnson. I like Najee Harris. And I like Pat Freiermuth. Sneaky sleeper pick. Biggity Ben. I know I said start Simeon over Ben. I like Simeon as well. And I like Ben as well. I don't know why, but I think that if Simeon plays, I think that Simeon's going to put up, have a good game, especially with no Kamara. they're going to have to do something because they know that Ingram can play, but he's not as explosive as Alvin Kamara. So that's why I like Simeon a little bit more, because you're not going to be able to keep running the ball because you're not going to have a two guys to keep running with. One guy's going to be run down. So Big Ben, another sleeper. You're starting Najee, Deontay, Pat Freiermuth, Big Ben. Freiermuth, now, if you had Freiermuth last week, I did. He helped me win a league. I needed 9 points, and he ended up with 21. I don't think it's necessarily sustainable, but the way that, like I said, the tight end situation has been looking in the NFL recently, you're taking any sort of consistency from the tight end position. And especially with no Juju and Chase Claypool being hurt, that's somebody that Ben feels comfortable with. So, especially in a red zone, a big body, he's going to find the soft spot in the zone. He's going to turn around. Ben's going to hit him. So you're going to take those catches. You're going to need somebody to get the first downs. That's Pat Freiermuth. That is Pat Freiermuth all the way. And that's really it for that game, because that's going to be ugly. Tampa Bay and Washington. I have Taylor Heinicke playing in a league, and I don't like it. I like J.D. McKissic over Antonio Gibson. Gibson hasn't done much. He's hurt. You can't run on the Bucs. That's Gibson's strength. J.D. McKissic is the pass catcher. I think they're going to be from behind. I think it's a bigger game for J.D. McKissic. I think you can. I would say you can confidently start J.D. McKissic over Antonio Gibson, and he's going to outproduce Antonio Gibson, especially because he still has the stress fracture. Terry McLaurin, no. Logan Thomas or Ricky Seals-Jones, whichever one is playing. Logan Thomas is supposed to be coming back. Possibly he can play. Play either one of those tight ends, whichever one is starting. I mean, if you have McLaurin, you're probably going to start McLaurin. Just don't expect big numbers from him. And then obviously you're starting Fournette, you're starting Brady, and you're starting Evans. I don't believe Godwin is going to be playing this week. He could be out. He did practice on Friday, but they're going to see how he feels Saturday. So it could be game time decision. If that's the case, just load up Big Mike because he's about to go off. Okay. And you could start the Bucs defense. Start the Bucs defense for sure. But I'll go over defenses as we're going down the list when we're all done. Panthers, Cardinals. Cam Newton should not be starting this week. It should be PJ Walker. So get ready to see a huge dose of CMC and some option plays. Because PJ can, he's a little mobile. He can run a little bit. I also expect their tight ends to have a little bit of a bigger game because they're going to look for the check down stuff. Cardinals, Kingsbury, I think, is going to look to take away DJ Moore. And he's going to make CMC kind of beat them, make them one-dimensional. Or he's going to make DJ Moore. He's taken away one of them, but I think he's going to try to take away. Actually, you know what? I take that back. He's probably going to try to take away CMC, but CMC's still going to get his. McCaffrey's still going to get his points. He's going to get his catches. He's going to get hit a home run at any point in time. They might try to take him away, though, and make PJ throw the ball more to force more opportunities for their defense. So DJ Moore could have a little bit of a better game, but it's dependent on how Walker plays. And I know that's very it is. Some receivers, like Brandon Cooks, depends on how the team is doing as a whole. So we shall see. But that's really it. CMC, DJ Moore. Cardinals, if Kyler plays, load it up. You're starting James Conner. If Hopkins plays, Hopkins. If Hopkins does not play, Green was cleared from the COVID list. So obviously if Hopkins does not play, I like AJ Green. AJ Green has been playing more consistent. So you're going to load up, AJ Green as well. Even if Hopkins is playing. And again, I like Christian Kirk a lot, especially if they're missing. If they're missing DeAndre Hopkins, it's the Panthers. So I don't see them trying to force back Hopkins. I think them holding Hopkins out makes the most sense. It's the Panthers. Yes, it's a good defense. Yes, they've been playing better, but it's the Panthers. And Stephon Gilmore is probably going to be covering whoever their number one target is on the outside. So I think Kirk should still have a good game as well as Rondell Moore. Also, like we said, Zach Ertz, especially with no Gronk, you know, especially with the Broncos tight end situation, especially with nothing from Seattle's tight ends or the Packers tight ends, you have Zach Ertz, you're probably going to be playing him as well. So see what happens. Vikings Chargers. I like to have a big game from Dalvin Cook. They're going to try to keep Justin Herbert off the field, and the Chargers run defense is atrocious. So I expect Cook to go crazy this game. And by Cook going crazy, it's going to very much open up the play action game. So I expect Justin Jefferson to have a good game and also Tyler Conklin to have a good game as well. I also don't believe, from what I've heard, I do not believe that either of their cornerbacks are playing. From what I'm aware of, I don't see anything about Asante Samuel. But they do have some question marks in the secondary, so you're going to start up the usuals, Justin Jefferson. Still not crazy about Kirk Cousins because he didn't look good last week. And he's probably going to get sacked a lot because they may have a bad run defense, but their pass defense, their pass rush is pretty good. So Adam Thielen just scares me because he's been so up and down, but I feel like he's just going to get you a touchdown. So and where you took Thielen, you're probably, I like Thielen over Mike Williams. I really do. I like Thielen if PJ Walker plays over DJ Moore, Thielen over any Patriots receiver, Thielen's possibility to have a higher floor over Donovan Peoples-Jones. Peoples-Jones is just going to end up being, if he's a boom or bust. So if you're looking for, you're kind of know you want to get at least over 8 points, go with Thielen. You know, Thielen over the second receiver for Washington. Like I said, Thielen over Mike Williams. Thielen over the Broncos receivers. Probably not. Just over Sutton. I think Judy has a better game. Darius Slay will cover Sutton, and you could forget about Sutton doing anything. But, you know, see what happens. Speaking of Courtland Sutton and Darius Slay, next game I'm going to talk about real quick is the Eagles and the Broncos. So this is probably not going to be a pretty game. It's just not going to be pretty. Eagles are going to try to run the ball. They're going to run the ball. Jalen Hurts is probably going to end up having 15 passes. He's going to complete 9 of them. 3 of them are going to go to Devontae Smith. The rest of them are going to go to the running backs and Dallas Goedert. And they have it. I'm starting Jalen Hurts in a 2-quarterback superflex or in a superflex. He is one of my quarterbacks that I took to start thinking he would have a really good breakout year. It has not happened. For the past 2 weeks, he finally did not put up 25 points. He's been putting up 25 points every week except for the past two. So I'm hoping, you know, they get the run game going a little bit more. Hurts, if the offensive line can, with no Von Miller, if the offensive line can give Hurts some time to throw the ball, he can throw the ball. Everybody's so quick to say, oh, you know, Gardner Minshew. Dude, Jalen Hurts, if the Eagles move away from Jalen Hurts next year and Jalen Hurts goes somewhere else, I can see huge success. The kid can play. And I say kid because I'm older than all these guys now. He battled at Alabama. He loses his job during the national championship game. He goes to Oklahoma. He kills it in Oklahoma. He gets drafted. They have Carson Wentz. He plays, gets booed, shouldn't be doing it. They didn't tell him he was a starter early in the season. Then they finally name him the starter. Like, kid just loves football. He just wants to be an NFL quarterback. You know, like the Lamar Jackson. Like, sometimes people are like, oh, nah, man. Like, try to do something else or whatever the case may be. Like, no. Like, no, dude, I like Hurts. I do. Excuse me. He's not this coaching staff's quarterback, though. And I think if they would tailor plays to fit and to work around Hurts' strengths, they would be a better team for it. More, you know, rollouts, more options, more, you know, bootlegs. You know, he can pass from the pocket, but get him out there. Make the defense make a decision. Don't let him sit back in the pocket and make the throw. Get him out. Get him moving. Let the linebacker make a decision. Do I go for him? Do I cover my guy? You don't go for him, he's going to run the ball. You go for him, he's going to dump it over the top. You have to coach to your player's strengths. And a lot of coaches don't necessarily do that. Not that I could be an NFL coach. I'm not saying I can. But you have to understand what your players do are very good at, what they do well, and have them focus on that. Just do this. And you'll see success. And I just think that this coaching staff didn't have, you know, they came in, inherited Jalen Hurts, and now it's like, well, what are we going to do? So we'll see there. You're starting both Broncos running backs, as I digress, starting both Broncos running backs, Williams and Gordon. I like Jerry Jeudy here, and I'm not a fan of Bridgewater this week because the defense for the Eagles is pretty good, and I think they're just going to try to run the ball. Because their pass defense is good. So I think they're going to try to run the ball a lot. Devontae Smith, and I don't even know if you can start Devontae Smith. I mean, if Patrick Surtain is playing, I'm hesitant about it. I really am going to be hesitant about it. But he's questionable. This is, you know, if Surtain doesn't play, load up Devontae Smith, please, if Surtain's out. Load him up. But also, they're missing two offensive linemen, you know, three offensive linemen. I don't know if they're all starters, but still, so offensive line can be a little more tired, possibly. You know, see, you never know. But if Surtain doesn't play, please, please, please start Devontae Smith. I didn't start him last week. I lost my league last week. It was not pretty for me. It hurt real bad. My bench outscored my starters. It was not pretty. But with that being said, real quick, we're going to go to the Seahawks-Packers. Chef Russ, we're going to see what Wilson can do. He should have no limits. I don't like any running backs for Seattle, any of them. They're going to try to use a lot of them. Carson, you know, I just don't like any of them, especially with Russ back. They're probably going to try, you know, the running game might be better with Russ than it was with Geno, for the simple fact that they knew what was going to happen with Geno. They knew they were going to be, oh, here, you know, we're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. Stack the box, make Geno beat us, With Russ, you can't do that because Russ will beat you. So the running game will probably still be more consistent. But I think Russ is going to want to come out and show and win against the Packers, especially because the Seahawks defense is not the greatest, and Rodgers is probably going to carve him up, especially after the Jordan Love situation. He's going to be like, yeah, no, this is why you need me. I played like shit the first game. I'm important. You don't have me for one game. You see what you got. You should just stay with me. So he's going to, you know, Rodgers is going to come out and prove a point. Starting the usual for the Packers, Jones, Rodgers, Adams, and that's it. For the Seahawks, Russ, DK, and Lockett are my starts. I like Alex Collins over any of the other running backs, but he is still fighting injuries himself, which scares me. And Chris Carson, if he plays, Carson is with the neck, takes a weird hit. He could be out. So I would try to stay away from them. You could probably go A.J. Dillon. Go A.J. Dillon, deep flex. Like, you know, and super flexes are in your deeper 14, 16, 18 team leagues. Or if you took him, he is a handcuff to Aaron Jones, and they have been doing some split duties. So, but I expect a big game from Lockett. With Russ, he's going to try to probably get Lockett involved. And DK's DK, so you're going to start him. Yeah, that's it pretty much for the Seahawks-Packers game. Pretty quick, pretty easy. We go to the Sunday night game, Chiefs-Raiders. Oh my God, this scares me. CEH can be elevated off the IR. I don't know if he's going to. I do not like any of the Chiefs running backs. I don't even like the Chiefs quarterback. Okay. I like Derek Carr more than I like Patrick Mahomes. I like Aaron Rodgers more than I like Patrick Mahomes. I like Justin Herbert more than I like Patrick Mahomes. Kyler Murray, if he plays, Tom Brady. Matt Ryan over Patrick Mahomes. Just saying. The only reason I'm not high again on Patrick is basically what's been going on. But the front four for Vegas is really good and very underrated. And you've seen the Chiefs offensive line. So there you have it, folks. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not, you know, you're starting Hill, you're starting Kelsey, and you're going to start Mahomes because it's Patrick Mahomes, and you took him as like the first quarterback in your league. But I like Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, obviously, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller. Those are the two pass catchers I want. I know Brian Edwards is an option, but I really just like Renfrow and Waller. They'll dabble. He'll throw the ball to other people, but Waller and Renfrow, baby. That's really it for me. If CEH, it's hard. If CEH plays, I don't even know if I want to play any of the other, like, play running backs at all. It's almost like I'd rather have no CEH and just play Williams. I think that would probably be a really good option for you. I like Josh Jacobs over the Chiefs running backs. I like the Packers running backs. I like both Broncos running backs. I like the Eagles running backs over the Chiefs running backs. Honestly, probably JD McKissick over the Chiefs running backs. I probably like the Chiefs running backs a little bit more than the Patriots running backs because you just never know which one the Patriots are. At least if CEH doesn't play, you know it's probably going to be a lot of Darrell Williams. So, but that is the Sunday night game. And then we're going to talk about the LA Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. The LA Rams, if you have not been made aware, Panthers signed Cam Newton. And the Los Angeles Rams signed a waived Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I was not necessarily thinking Odell was going to play this week. But guess what happened to practice today for the Rams? Robert Woods tears his ACL. Well, Mr. Odell Beckham, here's your opportunity to be a number two receiver in an offense. A very explosive offense where you could put up receiver one type numbers. If Odell plays with no Robert Woods, he's going to have a limited tree, but I'm fairly confident. Odell's not an idiot. He's a smart individual when it comes to football. He understands terminology. Sean McVay's going to give him things that he can understand. And Matthew Stafford's going to also try to help him out as well. They're going to dive into this, especially with no Robert Woods. They have the extra day. They have the extra day, so therefore they can work on stuff on Sunday and be like, okay, Odell, like, let's go. And he could just happen to take one to the house because he's that talented. If he plays with no Robert Woods, it's very interesting now. Very interesting. If he plays, I do like him. I don't know why, but unfortunately it's a Monday night game. So you're going to be like, if you had Robert Woods and you had Odell, you're in a really good situation. And if you have Ayuk, maybe, like if you weren't starting Ayuk or whatever the case may be, maybe you start Ayuk if OBJ doesn't play. I don't know. I'm trying to think of stuff. Or pick up Van Jefferson. If OBJ doesn't play, pick up Van Jefferson. Just do it. We look to pick up OBJ. I got OBJ in my one league. My buddy had quick hands. He picked up OBJ. We're trying to pick up Van Jefferson to block the Robert Woods owner from getting him. And maybe we could try to work out a trade and say, boop. San Francisco, though, I don't think Von Miller's playing. If Von Miller is playing, it's going to be a bad game. George Kittle, Debo, and Elijah Mitchell for checkdowns. pretty bad game. Stafford, Kupp, Henderson, OBJ if he plays. If OBJ doesn't play, Van Jefferson, and probably Higbee. I like Higbee with no Robert Woods if OBJ does not play. Even if OBJ plays, it could still be limited. Depends on what McShay says. McVay. Sorry, Todd. But I don't like Jimmy G. Kittle, Mitchell, Samuel. Just because they're all checkdown guys, Deebo can take a pass, you know, deep. Elijah Mitchell, swing out of the backfield. George Kittle, sitting down in the middle of the field, you're looking for a hot read. Deebo, hot read. Elijah Mitchell peels out on the screen because they're going to be trying to get the quarterback. So those are the three players I like and why. However, with that being said, we're going to work top to bottom, bottom to top, bottom to top. I like the Rams defense a lot. I like the Raiders defense a lot. I like the Cardinals defense a lot. The Bucks defense a lot. Steelers defense a lot. Patriots defense I do like. Colts defense I love. Saints defense I like them as well. Sneaky pick, I like the Falcons defense. And the Bills, you're going to probably play the Bills defense, but dude, it's Mike White, bro. Why wouldn't you want to try to play Mike White? Like, why not? So, the Bills defense did play well against Jacksonville, but it was also Jacksonville, but they also lost. They only gave up 9 points. But again, it's Jacksonville. But those are the defenses I like. Colts defense, Saints defense, sneaky pick, Falcons defense, Patriots defense, Steelers, Bucks. Probably like the Vikings defense a little bit because they're going to play a lot of time. I think they're going to have a lot of time of possession. Cardinals, and then Eagles defense. Those are my defenses. Obviously, you know, the kickers. I like Bills, Falcons, Saints, Colts, Patriots, Steelers, Bucks, Cardinals, Chargers, and Vikings, both kickers. Eagles, Broncos, both, because I don't think they're going to be able to put the ball in the end zone much. They're going to get a lot of field goals. Mason Crosby, Carlson and Butker. And then Matt Gay for the Rams. Those are the kickers I like. So that is the Week 10 preview. And I do want to talk about, I'm working on getting an intro done for the podcast. So you're not going to have, you're going to hear something else before my lovely voice and seeing my lovely face. So that is, I have a buddy of mine doing it. I went through his business for it to support his business and what he does. So if you guys like and you guys want to know and you guys have your own podcasts or anything, he does do, you know, like voiceovers, things like that. So if you're looking for something along those lines or whatever the case may be, I'll have his information, his Fiverr information, I'll tweet it out and I will post it on Instagram and stuff or all my platforms for anybody looking for voice acting. So real quick, I do one of the biggest leagues I'm in that I've really jumped in with both feet because it's probably, a lot of it is just because it's all like super close friends. There's three leagues I'm really like super dedicated to. The other ones, I'm like, you know, I'm involved in them, but I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm doing well in one, I'm doing well in another one. I'm in two big friends leagues. One of them I'm not doing too well in. On paper, I'm like, oh, I love my team. They haven't performed. Mike Davis, blah, 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 all that good stuff. So that's very unfortunate, but my team's looking to come. I'm in 10th place. I've scored a decent amount of points, but I started Mike Gesicki in this league and he got me 0 points. Oh, great. Ugh. This is just my luck, though. Like, I start two people and I get 16 points. Like, and he's starting Russ and Carson Wentz. I can't win. But this is another league I really, really enjoy doing. And it's just unfortunate that my team hasn't done well. Not super, super active in the trade, you know, portion of it. But nonetheless, you know, I still enjoy it. It's great. You know, it's really good. I think I took Mike Davis in this league, and that's why. It's just unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. But these things happen. You know, it's fantasy football, and you just kind of have to roll with the punches. Hopefully, you know, like Russ has a bad game or whatever the case may be, and I can sneak one out. But I don't think so. But we'll see. We will definitely see what's going on. But that's one friend league I'm in, and I enjoy it. We've been doing it for a long time now. At least like 6 years, I feel like, if not longer than that. We have a ton of fun. You know, but one of the leagues I've really gotten into is this Dynasty League. And it's my first Dynasty League I've ever done. So it's brand new. I don't know if a lot of the other guys in the league have done Dynasty or not, but you know, the commissioner of the league, him and I were been friends for over 25 years. Yeah. Oh, wow. So, you know, just the 25 year mark, quarter of a century. So he's like, "Oh, you want in this league?" And I'm like, "Dude, yes, like sign me up." So for anybody who's not familiar, a dynasty league is you basically draft a team and you keep the team. That's how he's explained it. It's not like you have to drop people to add people and you just have massive rosters. From what I'm understanding, I don't know if when you draft rookies, you have to drop players. We're going to figure that out. But essentially, you draft a team and you keep this team. This team is yours. You pick up 8 free agents on waivers and they're yours. The first draft we had was 25 rounds. Then what happens is at the end of every year, we have a 5-round draft of just rookies. So draft picks can be very valuable. We have teams that are 1-8, 2-7, 3-6. But we had some massive trades. Now keep in mind, you want young talent, good young talent, or draft picks. If you're looking to win, you can kind of go with some older talent like the Tom Brady, things like that, and try to win this year and maybe set yourself up and make some trades to set yourself up for the future. So one of the guys in the league's 9-0, had Derrick Henry. I was looking at his team the other day. I was like, how the hell is he 9-0? And then I was like, oh, he has Derrick Henry. Which isn't a problem by any stretch. You draft Derrick Henry, you're going to get points. But there was a trade. Now, I traded Rashad Bateman and a 3rd-round pick this year for Melvin Gordon because I can still do something and I need running backs. I'm in the mix. I'm in the playoffs right now. I'm the 5th seed. But I need to make sure I keep winning. So I'm like, you know what? I have Marquise Brown. I have Rashad Bateman. Let's get a deal done. We're both playing hardball with each other for a really long time. I was trying to maximize Rashad Bateman's, you know, like my profits on Bateman and maximize what he'd be worth. If I waited one more week, it would have been worth probably a lot. But I got a possible top 3 pick in the 2nd round of this year, which is the 15th best rookie. And I got to keep my 1st-round pick. So I have 2 seconds. My 1st-round pick, and I traded my 3rd. I get 2 second-round picks. I can live without a 3rd-round pick for Melvin Gordon. Now, there were some trades that took place before this deal. Remember what I said. You want good young talent. One of the guys in our league traded for Lamar Jackson before the Thursday night game. Traded away Derek Carr, Tyreek Hill, Deshaun Watson, and Jacoby Myers. Derek Carr, Tyreek Hill, Deshaun Watson. Now, Deshaun Watson's not playing this year, but you don't know where he's going to end up, and he could be worth something. Sorry for that hitting of the mic. So Deshaun Watson, when he plays, is a stud in fantasy football and a stud in real football. All for Lamar Jackson. Now, he's 6-3. He's making a push. He wants to continue to win. He needed quarterback help. I don't know if this is a long-term play or a short-term play. With a deal like this, I think short-term, because you're not going to give up that many assets if this is a long-term deal. So the other guy gets Derek Carr, Tyreek Hill, Deshaun Watson, Jacoby Myers. The guy who got him, though, is 2-8 or 3-6. So now he's probably going to start winning some games, and he's going to be hurting. You know, he can make a run for the playoffs. It's good for both teams. So that was one trade. Another trade. Now, remember, young talent. One guy in the league gets Ronald Jones and Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson for Darren Waller, Tony Pollard, Darnell Mooney, and a 2022 first-round pick. Now, the guy who got Justin Jefferson is probably making – he's going to end up with probably – either the second to last pick, either pick 11 in round one or pick 12 in round one. He's setting himself up to win the league. So he's going to have the bottom half of the draft pick. But the other guy trades away Justin Jefferson, gets a stud tight end in Waller, gets the better running back, in my opinion, in Dallas and Tony Pollard. I was talking to my buddy about this as well. And Darnell Mooney. Now, Darnell Mooney is very young, very quick, very talented. He had a touchdown catch last week. So that's very good. I don't think he's going to be Justin Jefferson-esque, but with Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney, I think you have a quarterback-receiver combo for years to come. And I do believe that the person who has Mooney also has Justin Fields, I think. So it was a very fair deal, but you just gave somebody Justin Jefferson. But no, it was a good deal. It was a very good deal, but the guy who got Justin Jefferson, oh, jeez. Can I... So the guy who gets Justin Jefferson has Josh Allen, Zeke Elliott, Daryl Henderson, Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp, Antonio Brown, Dalton Schultz, Justin Jefferson, Tom Brady. Oh, and I'm sorry, Calvin Ridley. He has a very, very good team. Now, again, the Cam Akers things makes Daryl Henderson's pick look better. Keenan Allen's been inconsistent. You didn't expect to have Cooper Kupp do what Cooper Kupp's doing. You know, so... He drafted very, very well. So it was just crazy. Absolutely crazy. What happened? You know? So, but that's what I like about this league. And I'm looking, like I said, to try to get Leonard Fournette. I got to reach out to the guy tonight, see if we can get a deal done. And see if I can position myself, because I'm probably going to lose this week. I underperformed on Thursday Night Football. So I need like Jalen Hurts to drop 30. I need Melvin Gordon to put up 20. I need Emmanuel Sanders to put up 20. Like, I need my players to go off this week. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But again, I'm somebody like myself. I'm set up for future. Travis Etienne, J.K. Dobbins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Cortland Sutton, Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney. I do have Mike Gesicki, Kyle Pitts, Marquise Brown. You know, two young quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and Jalen Hurts, thinking they're going to be, you know, starters, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith. So I have I drafted very young, like very young, and I should have a lot better of a record than what I do. But three out of my four losses, I went up against first 2 weeks. I went up against the highest scoring team. And the third week, I went up against the second highest scoring team in the league. And I was like either third or fourth highest scoring, maybe fifth. So I outscored more than half the league. My matchup just sucked. So I'm in a very weird spot, but it happens. These things happen. It is what it is. But guys, with that being said, like I said, I'm going to be working on a professional introduction to the podcast. I'm going to be looking to get some other, you know, co-hosts coming on as well in the future to kind of, so you don't have to hear my boring voice the whole time. Get some interaction going, get some good conversations going. And I want to start to getting more and more people on, start to talk about actual sports, baseball, football, and the real sports, and then do the fantasy stuff as well. But, you know, those are my goals. Those are my aspirations, and I'm looking to try to do it. I've been listening to some stuff, trying to find, you know, a system that works best for me. I do apologize for this episode coming out, like I said, on Saturday, but had a wedding to go to last night, which was a blast, by the way. But yeah, just looking to see what I can do with this. It's a passion of mine. See what happens. But guys, with that being said, hopefully this podcast, this episode, Week 10 Preview, helps you guys win your weeks. I know this week I'm going with my gut because I didn't do it last week and it f***ed me over. So this week, guys, get it done. Do it right. Do it well. Have a great weekend. Later.